Today's message is entitled, If He Had Not Come. And I wanted to give credit to Anna Lancaster for suggesting this title. She sent me an email, and some of you send me emails. Don't think I don't read them, because I do. It might take a while, but this reflects a story that she heard, and I thought the Lord was speaking from it to me. So we're going to reflect on if He had not come. Let's pray. Father, in your infinite mercy, you are constantly speaking. The cosmos and the earth, the creation is full of your speaking voice. God, as we respond to you this morning, we pray that we will have heard fully the words you say, that our response can be a resounding yes to you, that yes, you have come to us. We acknowledge your presence, we acknowledge your word, we acknowledge your spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to recall a few verses from the John 1 passage, and then a verse from John 15. John 1, 9 through 11 says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world." So see, there's a transition here. The true light is now He. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. And then John 15, 22, Jesus is speaking, I believe, with some Pharisees about His coming. He says, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin." If He Had Not Come was a story written by a woman named Nan Weeks in the 1930s. And as I recount and summarize the story for you, you're going to hear things that it's odd how time changes the way you perceive things. Y'all remember blue laws? You remember you couldn't take a step out your door on Sunday morning unless it was out to the church. And then those sneaky people who went down to the bar that was supposed to be 500 miles from the church and all of that. But this story contains a lot of that kind of imagery. It also makes you kind of hearken back and say, wow, we've lost a lot. But it supposes that Jesus never came. It's presented in, and you can find it on Amazon. It's been updated by someone and republished on Amazon, If He Had Not Come. But Bobby goes to bed on Christmas Eve, and his father, as his custom is, to come and read devotions with Bobby. And he reads this passage from John 15, in which Jesus says, "If I had not come and spoken." And Bobby drifts off to sleep with those five words, "If I had not come," in his heart. The next thing, as in sort of a deep sleep, Bobby imagines he's being woken up and it's Christmas morning. He springs from the bed. He's ready to see all the signs, you know, that Santa Claus has been in the house. He bounds downstairs. There are suddenly no wreaths, no garland, no tree, no stocking, not even a fire in the fireplace. Odd. And nobody's up or stirring. And so he goes out and he looks out and he sees that people are filing into the factory. And that's one thing, you know, it's kind of dated. But a lot of people going into the factory for their shift. And he runs down and says, "Why are you open on Christmas?" And the guy says, "What's Christmas? You know, this is one of our busy times of the year. Get away, get away." And so the boy goes on confused. He wanders away. Where does he go next? Oh, as he wanders downtown, he sees the grocer is open. The baker is open. All the other goods stores are open. And he asks about Christmas in several, and they don't know what Christmas is. He explains even in one place that Christmas is about Christ, Jesus Christ, whom they've never heard of. And So he's very confused as he went along on his way. But they were very unkind to him, very rude. Everybody was different. Everybody was different. So he thought, I'll go to the church. And so he runs down to where the Blockware's church is, and it's this empty lot. But there's a sign kind of in the middle of it, and you can't really read it from where he was. He goes across the lot to see the sign, and the sign very faintly says, if I had not come. And so now he's beginning, you know, even Bobby can get put two and two together. He's starting to understand what's happening here. So he thinks, well, my class took up gifts to give to the orphan children. So I'll go down to the home for the children who've been orphaned, and I'll see them. Surely they're opening their gifts. And he went down, but where the building was, there housed the home for the orphans. It was just another building with a sign across the door that said, if he had not come. Beginning to be despairing, he walked down the street where there was homeless people gathered, and one especially old man who seemed sick and ill, needed attention. And so Bobby stopped to think that he would try to help this guy. So he helps the guy hobble down the street, and they head toward the hospital. But you guessed it, where the hospital was, where in time past, hospitals were founded and formed and staffed by churches. There was no hospital, but a sign where he could make out the words, if I had not come. So he thinks, well, surely even in a town like this and as rough as this, the rescue mission is there. Even if there's no Jesus, there's a rescue mission. But as they went down to where the rescue mission stood, over the door it said, if I had not come. As they got closer, he could see that it was a bar in a gambling joint in full motion, in operation. And so he thought, my family will help. He goes home and he finds that his entire family has been disrupted by, of course, the absence of Christ in the world. He thinks, I'll find my Bible. And he looks and gets a Bible, but when he opens it, there's nothing on the pages. Except if you hold it up and you look closely, you can see it says on each page, if I had not come. Terrified, Bobby is now at his wit's end. And just at that moment, he hears Christmas carols and bells, and he wakes up and realizes he's waking to Christmas in his home. And so that's a story of if I had not come. But it raises serious questions, theological questions, about what if Christ had not come and spoken to us about sin? What would have been the outcome or the result? First of all, if Christ had not come, there would have been no plan, right? If somehow humanity managed to remain in existence, there would be no plan of redemption, no plan by God to rescue us when we make the wrong choice. Set on that course, humanity had already messed up, right? And remember the flood? And God's determination, what he would do when people disappoint. But say we continued on and civilization, no civilization. Because lawlessness is not civilized. In a world where everybody does what everybody wants to do and where the laws, if there are any, they're set aside or they're adjustable based on my needs and my wants, there can be no civilization as we know it. And so there's lawlessness. Lawlessness means that there would have been no Magna Carta. Lawlessness means then that there would not have been any Declaration of Independence or Bill of Rights. These documents were formed because we were founded upon Christian and Judeo-Christian principles. principles. It wouldn't be any thanksgiving, because it wouldn't be anything to be thankful for. I'm seeing a picture of, if Christ had not come, it would be like hell on earth. If Christ did not come, there would be no hope, faith, or love. The only love, passing for love, would be self-love, self-interest. There would be no joy, peace, goodness, kindness, patience, self-control. There would be no mercy or beauty. I've always been fascinated by the way we have developed in the history of humanity that there's beauty. That we should find things beautiful. That birds have coloration because birds find one another attractive too. A world where there didn't need to be any of those things except to satisfy reproduction in the world. A world where every leaf was kind of green. Where looking at the world was like looking through cataracts because we couldn't truly, truly see. Where caring and kindness are unheard of because self-interest doesn't allow for true caring nor true kindness. Therefore, no true friendships. Friendships based only on what you know you can do for me, and vice versa. That would be a collaboration, not a friendship. True friendship shares from the heart. Now, lest you think I'm getting a little too far with this, you can think theologically of it. I got a degree in philosophy, let me just tell you. Our theology hangs on the notion that God's presence in and with his creation is just enough to allow us to buy hamburgers from each other without killing each other. That the Spirit of God strives with man to the point where we actually can continue in some kind of existence. In other words, holding us in a place where we might be able to be redeemed if we choose to be so. The image of God in us, not according to some, which is totally depraved and irreversible, but for others, that image is just, although deeply damaged, still present within each human being. Therefore, laughter would be of a derisive kind. The laughter of wickedness. The triumph of evil. There would be no good cheer. No silliness. Or fun. There wouldn't be any beautiful music from Isaac Watts. You know, those contemporary hymns. And I know this probably as much as I know anything about love, there would be no truth. You'll say, well, that's a true statement. You know, you're proving truth. You're saying something's true and it's not true. No. A world where you can't trust, where you have no guiding North Star, no guiding principle, no foundation to stand on. No trustworthy or reliable source to gather truth from. Or reckon truth from the untrue. There could be no pure truth. Because of that, no freedom. I look at fish sometimes in a tank. Well, it's a big tank. It's over at Cabela's. And I think, you stupid fish, don't you know you're not free? And he's content to swim in circles his entire life. It turns out, though, that's what fishness is. And no matter how much I might look at the fish and wish things for the fish and think good thoughts for the fish doesn't know he's a fish. And fishness is you just swim in circles. And I see people in the world who don't know they need a Savior. Because, especially if one had never come, they'd never heard. They don't know what fishness is. Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have known what sin is. But now they know what sin is. Now they know, and they can have freedom. And so the tension there is set. And we can't help but know and strive for and hope for something and even a higher ideals, because Christ did come into the world. But if he had not come, there would be only darkness, even when it was bright. It wouldn't be true light. There wouldn't be any hope. Have you ever lost hope? You ever remember when your dream died? That's the death of hope. That dream you had. How would life be if that's all you ever knew? I'll tell you what it would be. It'd be only despair. Only darkness. Only hell. A race of beings created in love that could not love in return except to love themselves. That would be hell. And people who snarl and snipe at this all the time, they can't see the idiocy in their circular logic, but they don't understand that there's no existence without some kind of benevolence working our way towards us and in spite of ourselves, like fish, attracting our attention. But Christ has come. There's not only knowledge of how far we've fallen, there's not only knowledge of sin, but now there's the hope of forgiveness. People joke all the time about preachers standing at the graves of your loved ones and lying. You know, everybody knows poor old Tom, he's in hell. That preacher lied well today. But that's not how we do things in the church. In the church, there is the hope of eternal life. Resurrection to eternal life. Hope and trust in Christ. There is always hope. John Wesley believed it was not my place to put people in heaven or hell. Just preach the gospel and let it sort itself out. And so I can stand at the edge of a grave and proclaim hope in resurrection today. Because Christ did come. There is a hope of resurrection. There is a hope for the forgiveness of sins. Today, there is hope of eternal life. You and I, as a matter of fact, all people, live eternally. It's not God's nature to permanently destroy the soul. Except the scripture says he can do that in hell. Eternally damned or eternally alive in everlasting hope, joy, peace, love. Eternal life that begins when I trust Jesus, not some future far off day. Eternal life that begins only in full some future day. But my eternal life, I have received it. I am living it. My heaven has begun today. Hallelujah. Christ has come. My eternal life has begun. It's kind of rough some days. But he has come. Now I have life. Now when others are in darkness, I have light. When they see dimly, I see fully. When they have questions and I have questions, I can have answers that are true at their core. I have love because I have been loved. And most of the church never even gets that one. You have been loved. You're not worthless. You're not a sorry scoundrel. You're not a failure. You're not ugly. You're not hopeless because God has loved you. With God's entire being, He has loved you. He is loving you now. He is loving you this very instant with all that He will ever love you. He'll never love you more. Even when we separate ourselves and we turn ourselves off to hell, He is still loving. His mercy endures forever. So that none might perish, but have everlasting life. Because Christ has come in the world, I can have Christ. He's my friend. He's kind of partial to me. And I hear from Him, He's partial to you too. Are things really so bad in a world where the Creator God comes into the world in flesh and is partial to you? Christ has come. Christ will come again. Joy to the world. Let earth receive her King. Thank God it's not if He had not come. But Christ has come and Christ will come again. Amen. Our final hymn today is a wonderful song. Now guys, a lot of people don't get this. People that aren't guys. Some songs are just hard to sing. They're just too high for us to reach. And so we don't sing those parts. And none of us are really dynamic basses. So when we sing low, it don't sound like a song at all. And I know it's hard to sing some songs that are especially joyful in church. But I'd love to hear some caterwauling just one Sunday in my life where people realize they were singing to one audience. So let's stand and sing as fully as we know how today. Angels, we have heard on high.